Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful to be able to come before you right now and even have this conversation. Pray that you'll help us to keep our minds alert and focused on what is being taught today, and that we could not only learn this information from your amazing word that you revealed to us, but help us to apply it to the current age that we're living in on earth. We can help everybody else that may be lost currently. We thank you so much for creating a man such as Charles Kenneth Smith, and for taking him up there to you when you needed him. Pray now you'll just help us to focus on what's being taught, for we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. For it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and it is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man shall pass into the Father except through me. Now, bear with me. I'm going to try to work this thing today, and hopefully between the PowerPoint and what I'm trying to get across to you, my notes, it'll all work. It worked. Thanks for your prayers. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Well, we haven't forsaken drawing together today and assembling together, have we? Thank God for that. So we're listening so far. Thanks for coming today is what I'm trying to say. My wife gave me some advice about being up here today in front of you, and she's a pretty smart woman, so I'm going to take it. I said, what advice do you have for me? Talking to all these people. And she said, speak slowly. She's so good at, she knows my weaknesses and how I could talk a million miles an hour. So I'm glad she said that, because it's going to help today. I need to talk slowly. I asked Mike when he called me on Friday, what it is he would like me to teach today. He said, well, we're in the fundamentals. Just teach something you're comfortable with. Okay. That's broad, and I kind of liked it. So I went to prayer and talking to God about what it is to teach today. And I kept thinking about, with the recent passing of Mike's father, I kept thinking of how thankful I was for a certain characteristic of Chuck, of his essence, that is. And how I remember when I was a kid growing up, I loved my dad, but I was not taught what y'all were taught about the essence of man. And Chuck had a human spirit, and that's why he's in heaven right now. And that's kind of what we're going to go towards with the message today, of the essence of man and how that relates to Chuck being in heaven right now. I thought it would just be appropriate. So it's kind of in honor of Mr. Smith, Senior, that is. And I'm going to try to tie this in somehow to Mike's fundamentals and what he's been teaching, so we don't get too far off track and I take you down some tangent, and then next Sunday you come back and you're somewhere else. So I'll try to stay on track as much as possible and as fundamental as possible. If you're not here, I mean, if your first time to be here today, this is excellent stuff you're going to hear. Many of you have probably heard a lot of this information a ton of times. So even in those times where you've heard information very fundamental, we still need to focus. Because there's people out there who don't know this information, and you've got to be able to give a defense for what it is you believe, according to the Word of God. You've got to be able to open up that Bible and take them to a certain place and show them what it is you're talking about. There's the barrier that Mike's been talking about, the barrier between God and and little man. Try to make him little also. And discussing our separation from God because of that barrier. So we'll kind of stay on those tracks, but we're going to focus mainly on this side of it. We're going to focus on man and his essence today mostly. And at the end, if we have time, then we'll go towards the post-salvational aspect of after man is saved, what? So what is the essence of man? Good question. I remember staying in my bed. I was 10 years old. And I just could not go to sleep for about 2 years of my life, every night staying awake, wondering, what happens when I die? Where am I going? I don't know if anybody else out there has experienced that when you were a child and didn't have a the parents that taught you spiritual matters, but I didn't learn anything about spiritual matters. So when I was 10, 12 years old, I was scared to death because I did not want to die because I didn't know what happened. This is going to help clear that up. So if anybody out there doesn't know or has somebody that doesn't know, we can help them to learn it. Okay, anthropos is the word for man. It's where we get anthropology. Of course, the New Testament was written in Greek, and it's way better to go to the Greek than what the English says, and now they've got tools to use on the computer where it's just like that. So, you need to utilize that if you have the opportunity. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? That's Matthew 16:26. Get your pens ready and your notes ready. We need to take notes in church. Unless you're just some kind of genius like R.B. Thing was, and you can just remember everything in the entire Bible like the back of your hand, you need to write down notes. Because I go back and look at Mike's notes afterwards, and there's stuff that you pick up and you never realize that you wrote down during that time frame. So just get ready, because we're going to go over some terms that we're going to have to know today. Some key terms. Anthropology. Trichotomous. Dichotomous. If you've already got these written down a million times somewhere, of course you don't have to write them down, but it's good to review these simple terms. The soul and the spirit. We're just going to deal with those five key terms today. That's it. Anthropology, trichotomous, dichotomous, soul, and spirit. Anthropology. It's a theology dealing with the origin, nature, and destiny of human beings. Get that from anthropos, and however you want to say it. I was trying to find out last night. Logi or logi. It's a doctrine of, basically, doing the math there, it's the doctrine of man. Why do we sit up at night wondering what happens? Doctrine of man. Trichotomous. Divided or dividing into three parts or into threes. Dichotomous. Dividing into two parts. I've highlighted tri, just so you can see where we get it from. Tri, like a tricycle, of course. Triathlete. Triangle. Three, di. Of course, I could just think of dice, maybe some diabolically opposed. Di, two. So tri and di. Soul. It's a tough one. Soul and spirit are mentioned a lot in the Bible. They're not the easiest things to define, so we'll try our best. The soul is imputed to every human being upon birth. Our physical body is the house that stores the soul. That means whether you're a believer or a non-believer, at the moment of birth, you are imputed with a soul. Everybody's got it. This is where we find our mind and our heart. In the Greek, it's nous and cardia. I know the Z chart we've all seen. If you haven't, get online, countrybible.us. countrybiblechurch.us, www.countrybiblechurch.us. It's amazing. Mine's got so many good things on there. But the Z-chart, you need to look at that. Where we find our mind on this. Okay, our soul houses our self-consciousness, our mentality, our volition, and our emotions. That's how I'm going to define it today. Might be some stuff I'm missing, but I had a day to get this ready. So that's going to work for today. Okay, spirit. The human spirit, pneuma, is immediately regenerated within a human at the moment of salvation, whereby a man has placed his faith alone in Christ alone. This work is accomplished by the capital S Spirit. You read your Bible and you see the capital S. The Holy Spirit. This is called efficacious grace. At the instantaneous moment of belief. Mike would... And his watch would come undone. But it's just like that. It's instantaneous. So, those are our five key terms that we're going to go over and understand, hopefully, by the end of the day. How do these five terms fit into the barrier that exists between man and God, the barrier that Mike's been going over? We're kind of stepping back and not going so far in to the in-depth. We're kind of stepping back a little bit and just looking at the overall broad essence of man, not as close. Okay. Just get yourself accustomed to it. I know it looks crazy. But just look at it for a little bit. Okay? Just take your time to associate yourself with it. Essence of man. Anthropos. We went over dichotomous and trichotomous. They both have a body. Everybody's got a body. Of course. You're born, you got a body. That's the first part of being dichotomous or trichotomous. Two, everybody's got a soul, like I said. That's imputed to you upon birth, physical birth. There's something different about these two. Hence the unhappy face and the happy face. No other way to describe it. I'm so lost without my what? With what? Spirit. It's lost. No clue what's going on. We'll see why. Spiritually dead. We'll go to some scriptures and look at it. But we're going to be going over this chart right here today. Okay, open up your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. Famous one we've heard it 100 times from Mike, but we'll go over again real quick. Is that what I have till? Gotta hurry. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From the tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." If you don't already have it put there, put spiritual death beside that die. Spiritual. Genesis 2:16. That's right, hopefully. Everybody on the right verse there? 16 and 17. For in the day you eat from it, surely you will die. By the way, we don't know if it was an apple. I don't know why everybody says that. It was some kind of fruit. That's spiritual death, which results, therefore, in physical death. Adam and Eve would have lived forever in the Garden of Eden. They would have never died unless they had eaten from that fruit. A lot of people don't understand that. Not until spiritual death did physical death follow later. Of course, a long time later in their case. Not like us now. Post-flood, it's different. Okay. So you understand that right there, spiritual death. We're relating it to the guy on the left that we saw, he's spiritually dead. Turn to Romans, the New Testament, 6:23. That's always a great one. The second half of the gospel message. Okay, for the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Genesis 2:16-17, Romans 6:23. So you understand what's going on with this non-regenerate human being. Haven't placed their faith in Christ alone yet. That's why he's lost without his spirit. We'll go into Corinthians later and see what that means, is why he's lost. Make sure I stay on track here. Okay, there's the barrier and there's the unhappy guy on the left. I've moved him. I'm so lost without my spirit. Little s, human spirit. The regenerated human spirit at the moment of salvation. He's what?
Dichotomous.
Okay. You've got the guy on the left. So we'll go to the guy on the right now and see what's going on here for a little bit. What's the only difference? What else do you notice is different? Lights on. What's in our soul? You wrote down the definition, your mind. Okay? We can understand spiritual logistics and spiritual matter because you got a spirit. Before, you can't understand anything to do with it. The Bible's spiritual. Okay, wow, life can make sense with my spirit. We're going to review these real quick. Maybe not all of them, but we'll go to it. See what happens there. I write here on my notes, PowerPoint turn off now. Big red letters, too. It's not easy. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. New Testament. It's so great to hear those pages turning. It's a good thing. Okay. And I may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Read that again. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what you should see right there, there's a word that should stand out to you that we just went over. What's that? Trichotomous. It's a believer. Earlier in the chapter, we see that this is written to the brethren, the believers. So obviously, these are regenerated human beings being talking to, and they have a spirit. Threefold. Trichotomous. I'm going to read Romans 8:10 to you, just for the sake of time. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the spirit is alive because of righteousness. Once again, Romans 8:10, you can write it down. If Christ is in you, first class, he is. Though the body is dead because of sin, yet the spirit is alive because of righteousness. Because of him. Through your faith. Okay, now importantly, this is a big one right here. John 4:24. That's one that everybody needs to put to memory. If you haven't already got that to memory, put it to memory. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and... Yeah, I've got it. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Okay? It's crucial because you can't have anything to do with God if you don't have anything to do with the spiritual realm. Okay, we have the guy on the left. Lost without a spirit. Got the guy on the right. And he's still smiling. And he should be. That's where Chuck's at right now. Amen. With God. Face to face with Jesus Christ. Man. I'm jealous. I love my wife. We have a kid coming. I'm happy. I got the Word of God. But I would rather be in heaven with Jesus Christ right now. There's no doubt in my mind. And hopefully you take that offensively. But I mean, it's, I know you don't. But as I was sitting there yesterday thinking of it, I'm thinking, I'm jealous. I really would rather be there with Jesus Christ. There's no more pain, no more crying, no more weeping, none of that. It's done. If you have a what?
Spirit.
And he's what? Trichotomous. See, they're not so scary of words, dichotomy and trichotomy. I love anatomy and physiology. That was my major in college. So anything to do with the human, I just latched right onto it. When Mike was talking about dichotomy and trichotomy, I was like, wow. And it makes sense. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. He's gone from dichotomous to trichotomous. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, spiritual species, a royal family member of God. The old things passed away, and behold, the new things have come. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Thank God. That it has nothing to do with us. There are so many people out there that think they have something to do with salvation. And they have nothing to do with it. We know Mike talks about it all the time. They're working their way. The ironic thing is they're working so hard to get to heaven, and that's exactly what's going to get them to hell. Not putting their faith alone in Christ alone. So when they stand before the great white throne, non-believers that is, they'll be judged upon those good works, and they'll get them straight to hell. That's nothing to do with us. It has to do with Him. But we do have to do good works and praise salvation. We'll talk about that. That's different than working your way to heaven, though. No. That's spiritually. He made us alive spiritually. A new spiritual species. And living in the church age right now, that's just truly amazing. Understanding the church age logistics and having the Holy Spirit indwelling us and filling us. We did our moment of silent prayer. You got to let people know about that. You know, when you're talking to your family members and your brothers and your sisters, I mean, just let them know. Before you do your Bible study, you need the 1 John 1:9. You must. If you don't, then you can't understand the thing you're reading. Period. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care if Colonel Thien himself, if he didn't confess his sins, he's not going to understand what he's reading. So you've got to tell people about it, because not many Christians nowadays know about 1 John 1:9. Or baptism of the Holy Spirit, or any of these things. But don't be afraid to tell people about those things. Something as small as that is a light bulb goes off when you tell people that. You can see it. Wow. Because God can't associate with sin. So to summarize this part of it, am I speaking slowly enough? Okay. Not getting any looks from the wife, so I think that's good. Okay, we've got God the Father up top. That's not the red pointer, that is. God the Father up top. We've got two sides here of this chart. We've got no access to God, and we've got straight access through who? Jesus. It's the only way we get access. That's a crown, if y'all can see it. Tried to put a crown over his head, the King of Kings. But, like Chuck, if you put your faith alone in Christ alone, you get access to God the Father. Not just upon death, but right now, in your post-salvational life. You get direct access. In the Old Testament, it was different. They had the Holy of Holies and the veil. And that all changed when Christ died on that cross. I mean, that veil was ripped top to bottom. And we have personal access to God the Father, individually. That was not something everybody had. Old Testament believers didn't have that. That's just amazing that we got placed on this earth at this time during the church age to have this opportunity to be royal family members of God. And for some reason, people don't have problems studying the future. Eschatology. What's going to happen at the rapture and the tribulation and the millennium? That's fine. You can ask anybody out there. Do you believe in the seven-year trib? Sure I do. Do you believe in the millennial reign of Christ, 1,000 years? Yeah. But what about the church age? They give you that look. I'm trying to do it like Mike. They give you that look like, what are you talking about? And that's not a good thing. Well, you need to know right now. This is where we're at. There he is, still unhappy. He's going to be a lot more unhappy if he gets to that great white throne. I mean, it ain't going to be good news. Where did my other guy go? There he is. John 3:36. Okay, that's what I'm doing. John 3:36, right up there above that, is what we're going to go over real quick. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. And no, that does not mean obey by working your tail off. That just means obey the command to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's it. Okay, a lot of people don't understand that one, and that trips them up. Well, it says obey. You got to do all these works and stuff. Ephesians 2:10. No, no, no. That's talking about obey the command to have faith alone in Christ alone. Okay, so we're here. All right. Thank you for whoever got that. I can't remember. That you, thanks. Okay, we've got up here, this person does have access to God the Father because of Acts 16:31. Everybody's got that one memorized to heart. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You and your household. Does that mean your household's going to be saved too? They said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your household. Does that mean that if you don't have faith in Christ alone, and everybody in your house is going to be saved too? No. That's a confusing one. It just means your household also has to believe. If they don't put their faith in Christ alone as well, then they're not getting there. So that's one that trips some people up. This was talking to the jailer, and he asked, "How do I be saved? How am I saved?" In Acts 16, it's a great story. Go check it out. And he said, "How must I be saved?" And this is after he thought they had escaped, and he was just going to kill himself because he was going to be put to death anyways. And so what must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Well, did he believe? Yeah, he did. He heard the gospel message, and he believed. And that's a wonderful thing. For through him, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. Can't have any access without that right there. Period. Doesn't matter. I don't care how good you are. I've got close people to me, family members, who are wonderful people, but they're not going to heaven right now. And because they don't have faith in Christ alone. You know, you've got to place your faith there in Christ alone. You can know some of the greatest people in the world, but if they don't place their faith in Jesus Christ, they're not getting there. Okay. Into that one. Doing good. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. Still got it up there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Give you some time to get there, because we're going to try to go through this as best as possible. Starting with verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Start with but just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Now, pay close attention here. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful chapter. Teaches us a lot of good doctrine in this chapter of we understand now that the only way, hopefully you got it, the only way you're going to get to that side of the barrier over here with God is through faith alone and Christ alone. I said we try to touch on post-salvational aspect of this message, so we're kind of going towards that. But related to a story, my sister told me. My sister lives in Round Rock. Great girl. Completely open to the truth. And God had her placed into a... was in his plan to have her in a philosophy of religion class at a college over in Austin. I'm not going to mention which one, but it was a college over in Austin. So she was in a philosophy of religion. I said, wow, philosophy of religion, that's good. Passing syllabus. She was in a syllabus, and this guy couldn't be more anti-Christian. And it wasn't like he was being fair to all things. You know, if you're teaching philosophy of religion, usually they'll put somebody in there who isn't going to step on your toes in a certain area, but they'll just kind of broadly cover different things about philosophy and religion class. Uh-uh. This was complete hatred towards the Lord of God and towards Jesus Christ and everything to do with Christ. He had all these quotes written down on the syllabus, and I marked every single one of them. About every third one was something about Christianity being horrible. And then he mentioned Buddhism or Islam. Something he mentioned. He was on ripping apart the Christian faith. Well, I told Christy, my sister, I said, listen, you know the truth. He doesn't. So you're spiritual and he's not. He can't understand a thing that you say except for the gospel message. Until he realizes that he's a sinner, has fallen short of the glory of God, and puts his faith in Christ because of that and gets his human spirit, he's not going to understand anything you tell him. So it's hard to have a discussion with somebody, especially somebody who's educated, like that gentleman. I pray for that guy that he puts his faith in Christ alone. But the point of the story is that I told Christy, I said, he doesn't understand anything about this stuff. So when you're there, you got to have your radar on. You got to 1 John 1:9. You got to be ready to go. So it's funny, she came to me a couple weeks later after being in the class and said, the teacher said something interesting today. I said, well, what was it? She said, he was talking about the Bible. And then he flat out said, you know, to be honest, I don't understand anything in that book. That's what he said. Just like that. No kidding, you don't understand anything in this book. But Christy had her radar on. He doesn't understand any of it. He's not spiritual. So he didn't understand any of that. So this... just a warning, there's people out there who say they're teachers and whatnot of philosophy of religion. Ooh. But you got to have the master teacher, the Holy Spirit, teaching you this Word of God. Right? And through 1 John 1:9, confess your sins, known sins and unknown. He's going to take care of all the ones you don't know. You're not going to remember all your sins. I can't. You know, but I confess the ones that I do remember and then the ones I don't. He'll cleanse you from that. Thus being filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you can understand spiritual logistics and then apply them to the church age. So look at verse 9. I get off track, rabbit trail. Verse 9, the things which the eye has not seen and ear has not heard. Underline that and put above it empiricism. Empiricism. Tough one to spell. E-M-P-I-R-I-C-I-S-M, I believe. Thank you, we've got an English teacher somewhere. Empiricism. Empiricism is just trying to come to the truth of what you think this world is all about through your pure experience. You know, your senses and whatnot. Observation, experience. Doesn't get you anywhere, but that's what this Word of God is telling us right here. The eye has not seen, the ear has not heard. You can't get there from empiricism. And which have not entered the heart of man, underline the heart of man, and put next to it rationalism. We know what the Bible says about the heart of man. It's very wicked. So rationalism is what the Word of God is telling us here. It's man's own reasoning. He's trying to reason his way to God. It's not going to happen. You can't do that. All that God has prepared for those who love Him. Cross out the four in verse 10 and put but there instead. Shouldn't be four. Bad translation. Put but. But to us, believers... circle to us, God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. That first Spirit's okay. That capital S is fine. That is talking about the Holy Spirit. The second Spirit, make that a lowercase s and cross out the uppercase. That's human spirit. That should not be a capital S. It's coming from Mike, not from me. So don't trust me on this. If you trust Mike, cross out that S and put a little one. I trust him. Because he allows the Holy Spirit to teach him. For to us, believers, God revealed them through the Spirit. What revealed what? All the guys prepared for those who love him. The truths of this universe and the church age and where you're at. Why are you not waiting up in bed wondering what's going to happen when you die? For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Bible doctrine. The depths of God. Bible doctrine. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ Jesus our Lord. The whole entire Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you step back from the whole and understand the entire Bible represents Jesus Christ, you've got your Old Testament, which was your preparation of Jesus Christ. Okay, you've got your gospel messages, which is the manifestation of Jesus Christ. Then you've got Acts, which is the publication of the manifestation of Jesus Christ. You go into the epistles where you get the explanation of Jesus Christ. And then you go to the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's how this whole thing relates to Jesus Christ. If we can keep our minds focused on that, I'll say it one more time, then you can write that down. We've got preparation, Old Testament. You've got Gospels, which is manifestation. Then you've got the publication in Acts. Okay, what happened at the beginning of that church when all these mysteries were revealed to us. Then you've got the explanation. Paul explained all of this so great. Not just Paul, but in the epistle letters. Epistle just means letter. All those letters written to the beginning church were explaining the mystery of the church age doctrine. Right now, where we're at. And then, of course, Revelation. Revelation of Jesus Christ. Turn to verse 12. I'm sorry, I'm on verse 11. I'm skipping ahead. For who among men that's unsaved, underline that men, that's unsaved, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Now that spirit there is hard to understand. That's not talking about a human spirit that's regenerated. That's talking about verse 12, the spirit of the world. So they're kind of a play on words there. You have to understand that's not talking about spirit pneuma. It's talking about the spirit of the world. Okay, what the world does. And we know what the world does is wrong. For who among men knows the thoughts of the man except the spirit of the man which is in him? That's an unsaved man. Even so, cross out thoughts and put things. The things of God no one knows except the spirit of God. Now we have received, verse 12, not the spirit of the world. That's empiricism and rationalism. That's what the spirit of the world is. When we went over in the other thing, the heart of man and the ear and the eye. That spirit of the world is empiricism and rationalism. It ain't going to happen. Pharisees and Sadducees were very intelligent men. And they didn't get there. Some of them might have. Nicodemus, you know. But they're trying to get there through these manners, not through faith alone. But the spirit, cross out capital and put lower S there on verse 12. But the spirit who is from God, our human spirit given to us, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Which things... We also speak Bible doctrine, underlying things, Bible doctrine. Which Bible doctrine we also speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit. Combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Spiritual thoughts is just your spiritual logistics right now that we need to understand for the church age. And spiritual words is your grace perception apparatus. That's 1 John 1:9. You're not going to understand anything if you don't understand 1 John 1:9 with the spiritual grace perception apparatus. If you don't know what that is, get on Mike's website. It's right there. It's great. How great it is that we don't have to try to do it on our own. There's no way we can understand any of this. It's up to us. 14. But a natural man, psychikos in the Greek right there, natural man, underline it, that person does not have a spirit. Okay? No spirit. Body and soul, dichotomous, right? Does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him, Christie's professor. Foolishness to that gentleman. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he, the believer, who is spiritual, appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. And of course, verse 16 is just a rhetorical question. The clock's ticking. I want to get done here. So, verse 16 is a rhetorical question. Of course, it's no one. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? That's nobody. You can't instruct the Lord. He's the one who teaches us. But we have the mind of Christ. You can underline that and put New Testament. The New Testament about Jesus Christ and where we're at right now in the church age and how we think and how the Holy Spirit teaches us all this stuff. So what now? What do we do with this? Don't start running around telling people that they're dichotomous. You're dichotomous. And I'm trichotomous. So you're going to hell. You know, people already think Christians are wackos. So, don't go around saying, you know, if it's the proper time, if somebody wants to learn about dichotomy and trichotomy, sure. But more so along the lines of, you're a sinner and falling short of the glory of God. Through faith in Christ, you can have that relationship back. You can get the dichotomy and trichotomy later. The importance of 1 John 1:9 is huge. About being filled with the Holy Spirit. Many people don't understand the difference between indwelling and filling of the Holy Spirit. The moment of salvation, we all know that, boom, permanently placed as a royal family member of God, like Chuck, face to face with Jesus Christ right now. Man, I'm jealous. Romans 12:2. What are you going to do now that you're saved? Possibly. I don't know if I know everybody here. What are you going to do once you're saved? You're going to let your mind be transformed by the Holy Spirit teaching you through the Word of God. Romans 12:2. We all know it. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? The renewing of your... Where's your mind at? Soul, right? And it's only taught by means of your... The third? Spirit. Yeah. Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 3:14 is one I have written down to read to y'all. We're almost getting to the end. 1 Peter 3:14, but even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, which you will, you are blessed, and do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. You've got to be able to give a defense for what it is you believe. So if somebody says, well, why are you a Christian? I got two sisters who are very smart. They don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're not afraid to tell me about it. But we don't believe any of this nonsense that you talk about. Well, that's fine. You got to understand, I've got to be able to get a defense when they ask me what I was. Well, why do you believe what you believe? Well, first of all, the Word of God, of course, the revelation of Jesus Christ tells me this right here. I've got to be able to get a defense. So you got to be able to give a defense, y'all, when people ask you questions. Doesn't mean you have to be some expert, but you got to be able to give some roundabout of what it is you believe. Start getting on Mike's website and study his stuff because it's awesome. And to help you with that stuff, go to Colonel R.B. Thune's website. It's rbthune.org if you want to write that down. And free grace ministry, just like this one here. You can go online and call their phone number and you can order any of their publications. Great information. And they'll send it to you for free. Thiene, so it's rbthiene.org. And you just click on the publication thing on the left, well, this is your left, and go there and call them, and you can get a bunch of information and you can read at home, just to supplement your Bible reading. This is first, of course. You don't read that to understand this, you read this to understand those. We know that. Too many people try to pick up their book. You know, what are we going to do for our men's Bible study? Well, let's go through this book. Let's go through this book, and then maybe we'll get a supplemental book. So those are supplemental books, and they'll help you to understand. It's really, Colonel's real good at telling you, and Mike for that matter, of where we're at right now in the church age, which is what a lot of people don't understand. So go there, I suggest, and get that information. Okay, I told you that I would tell you about service for Chuck and where he's going to be at. By the way, Judy made the trip here today, his daughter, and we're thankful for that. And thankful you got to be with him when he passed away. It's going to be 10 a.m. on Tuesday, and I've got it written down here. It is going to be... Mary, where's it at?
Memorial Oaks Chapel.
Memorial Oaks Chapel. It's in Burnham. I think it's on the right side of the road going that way.
On Main.
Okay, it's on Main Street in Burnham, for many of y'all know, but that's 10 a.m. on Tuesday. Okay. And that's for... Mike, no viewing?
No, there'll be the service at 10 o'clock, the Grace Science services at Prairie Cemetery, and then reception here.
Okay. So 10 a.m., and then the gravesite, and then reception here afterwards? Okay, so you all know that. That's on Tuesday. That's it. Made it through. Good. Let us close. Father, we're so thankful for you, revealing yourself to us through the living word, Jesus Christ, and through the written word, the Bible. We know that we cannot understand any of these spiritual matters unless we are regenerated through faith alone and Christ alone, and thus have a spirit to be able to be taught by you. Pray that you'll always give us just an attitude like Christ of humility, who although he existed in the form of God, he did not utilize his aspects of being the divine God while coming here to earth. We've got to have that same attitude of being humble and to allow ourselves to be taught by the Holy Spirit. So we pray that if there's anyone here right now who hasn't made the most important decision in all eternity to place their faith in Christ and the work he performed on the cross to cover their death spiritually, you have the opportunity right now within the privacy of your own soul, not audibly, but just privately to God the Father, to make that decision of faith alone in Christ alone, and then that's permanent. Your ticket to heaven is guaranteed. It'll never be taken away. Pray you'll just be with us throughout this week, and you'll continue to be with the Smith family. Our prayers and thoughts go towards them, and just lift them up in their time of need. We pray all these things in the name that is above all names, Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.